Grace and peace to you in the name of the triune God, who was, who is, and who is to come.
And also with you.
Sing the Kyrie. Let us pray. Stir up your power, Lord Christ, and come. By your merciful protection, awaken us to the threatening dangers of our sins and keep us blameless until the coming of your new day. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated.
The first reading comes from Isaiah. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down, so that the mountains would quake at your presence, as when fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, so that the nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome deeds that we did not expect, you came down. The mountains quaked at your presence. From ages past, no one has heard. No ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you, your whose works for those who wait for him. You meet those who gladly do right, those who remember you in your ways. But you were angry, and we sinned. Because you hid yourself, we transgressed. We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy cloth. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. There is no one who calls on your name or attempts to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have delivered us into the hand of our iniquity. Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter. We are all the work of your hand. Do not be exceedingly angry, O Lord, and do not remember iniquity forever. Now consider, we are all your people, the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 80 responsively. Hear, O shepherd of Israel, leading Joseph like a flock, shine forth, you that are enthroned upon the cherubim.
In the presence of Ephraim, Benjamin, and Manasseh,
stir up your strength and come to help us. Restore us, O God. Let your face shine upon us, and we shall be saved.
O God, how long will your anger fume when your people pray?
You have fed them with the bread of tears. You have given them bowls of tears to drink.
You have made us the derision of our neighbors, and our enemies laugh us to scorn.
Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine upon us, and we shall be saved.
Let your hand be upon us one right hand.
The one who have made so strong for yourself. And so we will never turn away from you. Give us life, that we may call upon your name.
Restore us, O Lord God of hosts. Let your face shine upon us, and we shall be saved. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
A reading from 1 Corinthians. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that has been given you in Christ Jesus. For in every way you have been enriched in him, in speech and knowledge of every kind, just as the testimony of Christ has been strengthened among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will also strengthen you to the end, so that you may be blameless on the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. By him you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. The word of the Lord.
Thanks.
Thank you.
The Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "But in those days, after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers of heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey. When he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening or at midnight or at cockcrow or at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all. Keep awake." The Gospel of the Lord. Well, our Thanksgiving weekend was certainly marred by tragedy. The terrorist killings in India, the political uprising in Thailand, the ethnic battles that continued to wage in Africa, to more local events, the killing in the toy store, the mob of shoppers that trampled other shoppers and people even to death. These are not good times. Our economy is a mess. There's upheaval and disruption across our planet. People are losing their homes. Their people are losing their jobs. Even Mother Nature seems to be against us. The much-needed rain that finally came in San Diego flooded out a store that had much-needed gifts, charity for the poorest in our city. It is in this context, this political, social, economic and personal worry and upheaval. It's in this context that we begin a new church year on this first Sunday in Advent. In the season of Advent, we move into a time of preparation, a time of reflection. But preparation for what? Reflection on what? Of course, we're preparing for Christmas. As you heard, even the youngest in our community know that. We're preparing for that celebration of the birth of Jesus, the Word made flesh who came into our world to dwell among us, the light of the world that comes to shatter our darkness. Advent is a time for reflecting on the mystery and the wonder of that event when God came to be one of us, when God gave his only begotten Son, that we might have life and have it in abundance. But that's only one aspect of preparation and reflection. We're also reminded that this is a time to prepare for the end of time, when the Son of Man will come with power and glory. And it's difficult to wrap our minds around that concept, that end time, the idea of heaven and earth passing away. But most of us have been through an end time of a different sort, our own personal losses, the death of loved ones and family. And we know that life will never be the same after we have experienced something like that. So we do know something about end times. But what will it be, and when will it be for the whole world? We state in our creed that Jesus will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. But we don't know when that will be. Jesus says we cannot know. Only God knows. Not the angels, not Jesus. Only God knows. And we must watch and wait for that time. That's what Advent is about. It's waiting and watching. Each of our scripture lessons today give us a very important Advent lesson. And if you are one of those folks that like to take your bulletin home and reread these scriptures during the week, I would encourage you to take that pew pencil out of the box right now and turn to page 4 in your bulletin and look at verse 8, because this is our first Advent lesson. Verse 8 in the reading from Isaiah. O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are all the work of your hands. You know, we like to think that we are in control, that we are in control of our lives and in our world. But the good news is that our loving and gracious God is the one who holds us in God's hands. We are in God's hands. God is in control, day in and day out. This is God's world. Jesus told the story about a man going on a journey, and his householders are waiting his return. They don't know when he's going to come back. I wish Jesus would have used a different illustration for this waiting time, because it sounds like we are the children of with a parent that has abandoned us, and we're just waiting for that parent to come back, and that is certainly not true. God has not abandoned us, gone away to some place. God is here, holding us in God's hands. God is active and alive and present in our world, in everything we do, in everywhere we go. Our world, our lives are filled with God's presence. The problem is not that God is missing. The problem is that we fail to recognize the presence of God in our world. And this leads us to our second Advent lesson, and that's in the second reading in Paul's letter to the Corinthians. In verse 9 of the second letter to the Corinthians, God is faithful. God is faithful. God promised to be with us. God promised to care for us. God promised to be present to us. And we know that that is true because God is faithful. God is always faithful to God's promise. Advent is a time for us to get better at being God watchers, looking for God wherever God is, which means everywhere. Jesus used that wonderful illustration from nature, a fig tree that's just beginning to have that slightest hint of green in otherwise bare branches. And the disciples, as Jesus gives this illustration, know that that tree will soon put out its leaves and then put out its fruit and have fruit abundant. The wonderful sign of a new beginning. And Jesus helps us with that sign, with that image, to know that God is all around us. Even though we might look like a dead branch, if we look carefully, we see the sap still rising. We see the faintest hint of green. Even when we are surrounded by those same signs of life and new beginning, even when we are in the midst of such a mess, in our political and social and even personal lives, God's promise is that God is present. God is faithful. He promises to always be with us. God is in charge, and God is faithful. Advent gives us a season to hone our skills as God watchers. Gives us a time to name grace in our lives and in our world so that we may more clearly see God. It's a challenge to look for good, to look for the positive, to look for God when our vision is so clouded by anxiety and worry. But remember these two Advent lessons. God is in charge and God is faithful. And the third Advent lesson is the gospel verse, the last words of our gospel for today. Keep awake. I wondered out loud on my internet connections, I wondered, is insomnia the same as keeping awake? And one of my friends wrote back and said, no. Insomnia is when you want to go to sleep. Keeping awake is when you don't, when you don't want to go to sleep. So all those nights that I stay awake, I'm not doing the gospel word because I'm trying to go to sleep. Jesus encourages us not to have insomnia. Jesus encourages us to stay awake, keep alert. What are we looking for? We are looking for the presence of God all around us. We're not looking for a hidden God. We're looking for a very present God. But our eyes are clouded with anxiety and worry and insomnia. We need to open our eyes, be alert, be awake, be encouragers. Be givers of hope in these turbulent times. Advent, sometimes we end up focusing too much on the past, only remembering that birth of Jesus 2,000 years ago. Sometimes our Advent is too much on the future, only thinking of that end time when the world will end and heavens and earth will pass away. And Jesus will come in power and glory to judge the world. We need a balance in our Advent season, a balance to see God's presence and to know God is present in our world. In these difficult times, it's impossible to know what will happen tomorrow, but we can rest secure in the knowledge that our lives are in the hands of a most loving God. Awake and alert, we can trust that God is in charge and God is always faithful. God cares for us and is present in our lives and in our world. About 10 years ago, a pastor by the name of J. Todd Jenkins wrote a poem called "'Twas the Beginning of Advent." I want to read a couple of these verses. "'Twas the beginning of Advent and all through the church. Our hope was all dying. We'd given up on the search. It wasn't so much that Christ wasn't invited, but after 2,000 plus years, we were no longer excited. Can we relearn the art of wondering and waiting, of hoping and praying and anticipating? Can we let go of all the things and the stuff? Can we open our hands and our hearts long enough? Can we open our eyes and open our ears? Can we find him again after all of these years? Will this year be different from all of the rest? Will we be able to offer him all of our best? So many questions unanswered thus far, as wise men seeking the home of the star. Where do we begin? How do we start to make for the child a place in our heart? Perhaps we begin by letting go of our limits on hope and of the stuff that we know. Let go of the shopping, of the chaos and fuss. Let go of the searching. Let Christmas find us. We can't make him come with parties and bright trees, but only by getting down on our knees. He'll come if we wait amidst our affliction, coming in spite of, not by our restriction. He'll lead us to challenge the way that things are. He'll lead us to follow a single bright star. But that will come later if we're still around. The question for now, is the child to be found? Can we block out commercials, the hype, and the malls? Can we find solitude in our holy halls? Can we keep alert, keep hope, stay awake? Can we receive the child of ours and God's sake? From on high with the caroling host as he sees us, he yearns to read on our lips the prayer, "Come, Lord Jesus." As Advent begins, all these questions make plea. The only true answer, we will see, we will see.